Welcome back. This is episode 10 of the podcast Fat Newborns, Infants, and Kids. If you recall, this is the podcast version of the book of the same title. You can always buy the audiobook, ebook, or paperback book by going to kellygregg.com, going to wherever you get your audiobooks, or going to Amazon. What I am giving you is the poor man's version of the book on podcast, complete with commercials. Let us look at more epigenetics in relation to children and adults. We understand epigenetics is the expression of your DNA. There are many different mechanisms in humans that interact with the genes to affect this process. Methylation of cytosine has been the best studied mechanism, as we can identify the amount of methylated cytosine in a sample of DNA. Histone modification is the other mechanism that seems to have a major role in epigenetics. There are many other inputs, such as various RNA segments, that affect the production of protein by keeping them from being transcribed or enhancing their production. These RNA segments are themselves transcribed by the DNA. Recall that less than 5% of our DNA can be identified as genes. That leaves a lot more to be expressed. Although we do not fully understand what controls the controllers we have identified, we do know that the driver is the environment of the cells. My interest is how diet affects health. I really should be saying how diet affects epigenetics and how epigenetics affects health. This is too complicated to determine the details, but I can examine what man has eaten over history and how this has changed. I can also get an idea how the food has changed and how the processing has changed. In the last 120 years, we have changed not only the food, but how and when we eat. For most of history, people did not eat much after the sun went down. Now the sun has little to do with when we eat, and we can eat whenever we want. For the most part, we can even eat whatever we want, and as much as we want. This has not produced health utopia. Thanks to technological progress in medicine, we may be living slightly longer, but not much, and that extra length of life is not good health. Think about 200 years ago. What do you think the average length of life would be at the present time if there were no cancer treatment, no surgery, no antibiotics, no treatment for cardiovascular disease, and no insulin? Our average lifespan would be markedly shorter. How many of us have had our lives saved through the simple process of just taking antibiotics? The point is that for several thousand years, we did not have these treatments available, yet our lifespan was about the same. Are we saying we are now healthier than those who lived in the past? Or is it we are not as healthy, but have better technology? The DNA has not really changed. Epigenetics are changes induced by the environment of the cell. Your body has the ability to constantly adjust the homeostasis mechanisms to give you the best chance of staying alive, but eventually even these fail. I think we can all agree that now we are exposed to chemicals never seen before in the history of mankind. Our environment includes not only what we eat, but also where we live, what is in the air we breathe, or what we are exposed to on our skin. I have mentioned our gut microbiome, which also undergoes its own epigenetic changes and affects our internal environment. Many of these factors are beyond our control, but we can modify our diet. We can control what we eat and when we eat. Of course, the food has changed somewhat over the last few thousand years, and the processing has changed quite a bit. But even then, we can choose wisely. All I am doing is providing information so you can do this. When I originally began writing about type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance appeared to develop after years of repeated exposure to rapid elevations of insulin and glucose. I frequently describe this as inducing insulin resistance. Perhaps I should be saying we are inducing epigenetic changes that are manifested as insulin resistance. Since the process took years to develop, I rightly assumed it may take years to reverse, and perhaps it would never happen. My thoughts have changed somewhat. Now I see epigenetic changes in the morula that occur in days. The development of the fetus is really an example of rapid changes in gene expression. It is also an example of some irreversible changes in some epigenetic marks. As we begin to study the methylation of certain genes, we will be able to demonstrate these changes quantitatively. Now it seems that adults are continually changing their expression of DNA, sometimes reversing the methylation patterns in months instead of years. When you look at the gut biome, you can see changes in glucose metabolism when exposed to artificial sweeteners in a week. A great study was the twin astronaut experience. One twin astronaut at home, the other at the space station for a year. Multiple blood samples were examined in both before starting, while in space, and after returning. The space samples were sent back and compared to the home samples. After 9 months in space, there was less methylation in the genes of the cells studied in the space twin as opposed to the Earth twin. After 6 months on the ground, this went back to being about the same in both twins. We would expect that less methylation means more genes activated. The fetus is exposed to famine a few weeks, and lifelong epigenetic changes in controlling the weight occurs, which does not appear to go away. We control the glucose exposure to the fetus, and we prevent large babies. We control the mother's diet, and hence the makeup of the breast milk, and we may prevent obesity in infants. We provide an appropriate diet to the infant, and we probably prevent obesity in childhood and adolescence. If an adult eats the appropriate diet, we can reduce the epidemic of type 2 diabetes. It appears that many of these epigenetic changes that may prevent obesity may be able to be reversed. The normal-sized baby has an advantage for a while, but is probably not protected from obesity forever. Just like the teenager is not, and the adult is not. At the same time, like insulin resistance in an adult, it may take a while to reverse these changes. I am more optimistic that young children undergo epigenetic changes more rapidly than adults in the obesity arena, and hence may be able to reverse obesity epigenetic changes easier. We all eat, hence we all have a diet. Few of us grow our own food, and we buy it from others. We do not know exactly the micronutrient levels in the ground, all the chemicals to which the food was exposed, or how the food is treated from harvest to the counter in a store. Many of us eat processed food. We can look on the food label and see many things in there that do not seem to be food, but are required to preserve the food or enable it to be processed. This is not the same food eaten in the previous few thousand years. We cannot go back to the historical diet, but we can choose wisely. We can also prepare food wisely, and we can control when and what we eat. I am giving the parents guidelines about diet, not recipes. At the same time, I know the more you know about why I am giving you this advice, the more likely you may be to follow it. As those of you who have listened to the podcast realize now, this is almost a book about epigenetics, not really fat kids. I am in the process of writing a much larger book on epigenetics in diet and health, and this is one of the sections. I originally planned the book Diet and Health to be in 5 sections, and I published them as 5 separate books. although I actually combined them all into one giant book, Diet and Health. Similarly, I will write Epigenetics in Diet and Health in 5 sections and combine them in one book. In the meantime, this is one of the sections that is going to be published separately. The next chapter will review the maintenance diet. This is really the point of virtually all my writing, because my goal is to prevent type 2 diabetes by being on a proper diet. Of course, the book Diet and Health goes to much more detail about what this is and why we are doing it. If you listen to all the podcasts on this subject, and again, this is just the poor man's version of the audiobook, ebook, and paperback, you will know much more about epigenetics than you know already. At least most of you will know more about it.